My daily verse is included in these scriptures I'm reading. But it says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. There's something about being humble to cast your care. There's something about being able to release your own pride and your own ego and say, Lord, I need your help. So Lord, today we do. We release our pride, we release our ego, we release anything, Lord, that's in us, that's keeping us, God, from casting our cares upon you, from truly humbling ourselves, Lord, before you, under your mighty hand. Lord, we know, God, that you will raise us up. You will lift us up, Lord. You will be the one that exalts us, Lord. And you'll get the glory and you'll get the praise, Lord, because they'll be looking at you, not looking at us. So, Lord, we just ask today, Lord, that this would be a service, Lord, that we would worship you, Lord, in truth, Lord. We'd worship you with our full spirits, Lord. We worship you, God, from the depths of our being, Lord, humbly, Lord, worshiping you, realizing that you're the giver of life, Lord, realizing that you're the one that has started this perfect work in us, Lord, and you're going to be faithful to complete it, Lord, at the day of Jesus Christ. And so we thank you, Lord, for your work in our lives. We thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do here today in this service. And we just yield and surrender it to you in your hands. In Jesus' name, amen. You can stand with me.
Pray. just one way. Show your voice in all of the mundane things. You're in the end beat. You're in my everything. Let the rhythm my soul sings in the morning. I love the King and He loves me and all that I'm compelled to bring. He's my everyday offering. Oh. Let my worship be more than just singing. When the music become a religious thing, let these songs be what they're meant to be, the sound of your church awakening. Help my heart to keep up with the heavens, where the angels sing 24/7 praise. You're more than enough to get through my rough. Me Monday morning faith. That's all I really need. My soul sings in the morning. I love the King and He loves me and all that I'm compelled to bring. He's my everyday offering. Mercy's new.
King and He loves me and all that I'm compelled.
know you, Lord. I want to know you, Lord, like I know a friend. I want to know you, Lord. So I'm laying down all my religion. I'm laying down. Me in the dust.
Some scripture from Luke 7, but I kind of want to set up the story for you. This is the story where Jesus is going from home to home having meetings, and anybody was welcome to enter a home when Jesus was there. It didn't matter if they knew him, it didn't matter if they were invited, anybody could walk in. So I want you guys to remember that that was the custom back then when Jesus was having meetings, that anybody was welcome, right? In Luke 7:37, it says, in the neighborhood, there was an immoral woman of the streets, known to all to be a prostitute. When she heard about Jesus being in Simon's house, she took an exquisite flask made from alabaster, filled it with the most expensive perfume, and went right into the home of the Jewish religious leader and knelt at the feet of Jesus in front of all the guests. Broken and weeping, she covered his feet with the tears that fell from her face. She kept crying and drying his feet with her long hair. Over and over, she kissed Jesus' feet. Then she opened her flask and anointed his feet with her costly perfume as an act of worship. I'm going to go down to scripture 44, and it says, Jesus says, Simon, I have a word for you, in verse 40. But in verse 44, it says, then he spoke to Simon about the woman still weeping at his feet. Do you see this woman kneeling here? She's doing for me what you did not bother to do. When I entered your home as your guest, you didn't think about offering me water to wash the dust off my feet. Yet she came into your home and washed my feet with her many tears, and then dried my feet with her hair. Let me just say this one thing. The difference between this woman and Simon, on the outside, it looked really obvious. She was sinful, and she knew it, and they knew it. But the difference between her and Simon was heart condition. He expected Jesus to lift him up and raise him up because he had opened his home to all of these people and Jesus. You know, you can't have that many people in your house without preparing. So you have to know that he and his family took time to get ready for this meeting. But he just cleaned the outside. He fixed the outside. She coming in and weeping at his feet and drying his feet with her hair, she poured out the inside, knowing where she knew who she was. She didn't have a problem with it because she recognized what Jesus could do for her. Today we have an opportunity to let Jesus find us in the dust, to reach out and let him find us where we are. You may think, like Simon, you're in a good place. You're okay. Everybody looks at me and they see good. They see my many accolades. They see who I am and they know who I am. I'm good. But the heart of who we are. That's what Jesus cares about. Where are you today? Are you walking in here and you're okay where you are? Let Jesus really reach out his hand to you. Because to Jesus, every single one of us are in the dust. To Jesus, none of us are puffed up and all that we think that we are. To Jesus, every single one of us are in the dust. So that can we get that one, I reach out and you find me in the dust? Can we get those words up there, Gabe? I reach out and you find me in the dust and you say no amount of untruths can separate us. Again, this is a heart condition. If you know that's where you are, Jesus says no amount of untruth. What have you got yourself wrapped up in? Maybe just in the past week or the past year or the past few years. What have you got yourself wrapped up in where Jesus says none of those untruths can separate us? That's what he says to us. Can you recognize where you are? Not physically, spiritually. Where are you? Let's sing that chorus again. James, please. I reach out and you find me in the dust. Think of the woman with the issue of blood. Think about her recognizing she was in a mud puddle. She wasn't just in dust. She was filthy. Recognize where you are and really sing this from your heart, would you?
You say no amount of untruths can separate us.
Be truthful with Jesus today.
I reach out and you find me in the
come before you, and we pray, God, that you would remove the blinders, remove anything from our view of who you are and who we are and where we are, God. Father, help us, Lord, just to recognize you see the true us. We may not even, but you do. You still love us. You still reach out and find us, God. Help us today to recognize we just have this one opportunity, God. This one opportunity to truly reach your heart, to truly tell you of our love for you, to truly tell you that we are thankful for what you've done for us. Help us not to take it for granted, God. Help us not to think that we're worthy of what you're giving us and who you are to us. But you're the worthy one, God. You're the worthy one, Jesus. We praise you, God. Because even in our filthy state, you reach out and you grab us up out of that dust, out of that mud, out of that muck and that mire. And you're the one that cleanses us. It's not any work that we could do. Thank you, Jesus, for your love. Thank you, Jesus, because you love us so much that you'll take us as we are. Help us to recognize that today, Jesus. We love you. We thank you for this opportunity, God. But I just pray, Jesus, that our heart stays contrite before you today. As the word comes forth, as your love pours out, help us not to be done with today, but to recognize the opportunity we have today to kneel at your feet, to weep, to dry your feet with our hair, that very precious commodity. We thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You know, I just want to say one more thing. She used her hair to dry his feet. And they wore so many garments back then. They wore an inner garment, in the middle garment, and an outer garment. She had plenty of garments. She even had one covering her hair. She could have used anything to dry his feet. How intimate for her to take her hair and dry his feet. That is her adornment. That's the only thing probably on her that was clean. Think about that. And she used it to dry his feet. That's powerful. Amen. Amen. Greet one another. Grab a cup of coffee if you need to. We'll meet back here in a few minutes.
All right. Good morning. Good morning, guys. We're going to get ready to do our declaration. So if we could take our seats, please, and let's get ready to do this. All right, today we're going to do our declaration over the city because we love Yakima and we want to make sure we're speaking good things over it. So let's do this on three. One, two, three.
Thank you, Lord, for what you are doing in the Yakima Valley right now. And today we declare that my city will be saved, that revival will sweep the streets of the Yakima Valley, that every business, big or small, will thrive, that the families in my city will have all of their needs met. I declare that every politician in our city and state would have the wisdom of heaven, that you would use me in doing all of these things. And I declare that your will be done in the Yakima Valley as it is in heaven.
Amen. So, Lord, we just thank you so much for today. We just thank you for our city and that you gave us a place to live, God, even though that it has its quirks and its kinks. We just thank you so much that we still have a place to live and a place that we can reach out to other people and glorify you through that. So I just pray over this message that you would just bless the person speaking it and that you would just bless our hearts to be able to receive it. We thank you for all this. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Well, we have a couple of announcements. Next Sunday, we're going to have baptisms, so if anyone wants to be baptized in the new place where we're going to be baptizing, please contact me. You can text me or call me, either one. And right now, we have one candidate, and we're excited. She's not here today, but make sure that you're here next week, and let's be here as a family and encourage this step that our sister in the Lord is going to be taking, anyone else that wants to be baptized. Praise God. And then on the 25th, is it on there? Oh, 25th, right there, yeah. I just have to open my eyes, yeah. On the 25th, we're going to have a church barbecue over at Wixon Park, and that's kind of in the middle of town area. And if you are going to be coming, please bring a side dish. We have a sign-up sheet, and I don't know if it's been out. We'll send it again just in case someone hasn't seen it yet. And so it's going to be starting at 5 o'clock, and we are going to go officially till 7, but we can stay there longer. We have a gazebo area that we reserved, and there's nice area for kids to play. So make sure you're inviting friends and family. It's a great time for people just to come and hang out and get to know each other and spend quality time together. Amen. Amen. And then I want to thank everyone for giving. Thank you, Lord, the Lord for giving us people who give to this house. And I want to thank you for being faithful in your giving. We have a box up front if you want to give, and we have one in the back, or you can give online. So praise the Lord. And with that, we're going to have Pastor Ed come and share and challenge us in the Word of God. Amen.
Amen. I want to, good morning, everybody. How are you guys doing? Good? I want to take some time and start by praying over our families, over our homes, if need be. So we are less than 24 hours away as a youth ministry. Less than 24 hours away from taking 16 youth kids to camp in a place called Dorena, Oregon, a little bit south of Eugene. And would you know it that I spent majority of this week dealing with sickness? And I'm not the type of person, and this is just me, but I'm not the type of person where if bad things happen in my life or whatever, that I'm immediately blaming the enemy. I believe the enemy works in crazy ways and that he's out to steal, kill, and destroy. It is his MO. Also, I think sometimes things can over-spiritualize, and we're like, the enemy was really working on me today. I was late to work. And it's like, or you just didn't leave on time and you're a bad steward of your time. So there's and also. However, I can't ignore the fact that I myself rarely get sick. It's a very rare occurrence in my home that I get sick. And then all of a sudden, I wasn't just sick for a few days. I was sick from pretty much Sunday to I was on the mend Friday. And then with yesterday, or was it Friday? No, Friday. Our little Tegan woke up and he was, you know, you guys have seen Tegan run around and distract everybody running through worship and stuff. So he's a pretty lively kid, and he was fairly not lively. And then it ended up him getting sick on Friday as well. And it kind of like came and went, and Nancy as well, all day Friday wasn't feeling well. And she just was in bed, like literally all day was in bed. And so I start to think yesterday, people are getting on the mend, and my son is still feeling a little bit ill this morning. And I'm like, wow, what a coincidence that the two people that are in charge of this youth ministry, that if we can't go, 16 kids can't go to youth camp, would get attacked in this way. And so I just want to pray for my family, but if you in your home need prayer as well, I want you to maybe stand in agreement with me, because I do believe that there's something stirring in the Spirit of God, and that when we are taking God serious and going after what God wants to do in our lives, then it doesn't make the enemy happy. And I don't know about you guys, but I am in the business of not making the enemy happy. Amen? Amen. So if that's you, I want you to stand, and I'm going to pray, and we're just going to pray over our homes. You can stand in the gap if you have a family member that maybe has something, an infirmity of sorts that you guys have just been contending for. It could be as little as they have a cold. It could be as large as, you know, they have a terminal illness, and we just believe in this house that God is a healing God, and that God is on the throne, and that if it isn't in heaven, it doesn't belong on earth for God's children. So God, we thank you so much, God. We thank you for your healing. We thank you for your power. And God, I just pray, Lord, that these people standing in the gap for their homes, for their families, for their siblings, for their spouses, God, Lord, that you would move in their lives, God. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you're taking all sickness, Lord, all infirmities, God, all cancers, God, all mental illnesses, God, all things, Lord, that do not belong in your sons and daughters, and you are releasing them right now, God. You are breaking it right now, Lord. As it's bound in heaven, Lord, it gets bound on earth. And we thank you, Jesus, Lord. We thank you, Jesus, for your healing, God. We thank you, Jesus, that you are so much greater and so much bigger, God, than any of these things, Lord. And Lord, we just thank you, Jesus, Lord, that you your love, your power, your grace, your mercy, God, is raining down in these homes, God, raining down in these lives. And anybody that came into this place, Lord, with anything, God, that they've been holding on to, Lord, that is on their body, Lord, we break it off right now in Jesus' name, Lord. And we say you are healed. We declare they are healed by the blood of Jesus. And we just thank you for this in Jesus' name. Everyone said, amen. Amen. You guys can be seated. Sometimes it's just good to remind the enemy of his place. Amen. Again, I don't like to focus too much on him, but again, when he attacks, you have to just remind him, right? Friday, when my wife was, like I said, literally in bed all day, at the end of the day, I was giving my kids a bath and my little kids a bath, and I just was like, you know, I am sick. I'm sick of this. And I just went and I got some oil, some olive oil, and I poured some in the little cap, and I just went and I just anointed my home, right? And we can't forget of the power of faith. We cannot negate the power of our faith. You know, whether it's little, whether it's large, whether you're believing for, I only have enough faith for this, or you're saying, I have all the faith in the world, like your faith, right? The Bible talks about like the faith of a small as a mustard seed, right? And if it's just our faith, right? It's not the, you know, this magical, like, oh, I'm going to get this special olive oil from Walmart that we got, and I'm going to anoint our doors, our entryways. Like, it's not even about that. It's more about, God, I'm putting my faith and I'm saying that this oil is blessed, and therefore you're blessing my home. Therefore you're blessed. Therefore, because obviously something's happening, right? And so today I want to spend some time, because lately in the last probably few months, especially through summer, I've gotten just really stirred up about, you know, going after Holy Spirit. And we've been in our youth ministry as well as really encourage the kids to engage with Holy Spirit. And, you know, we fully believe that when we gather with our young people, that we're not just, yes, we have fun, and yes, we, you know, do the things and have pool parties and eat pizza and the whole thing as well. We recognize that in the short time we have them, we don't want to waste a bunch of time and just give them a little, hey, stop sinning, don't sleep with your boyfriend, don't do drugs, have fun, go home. But we actually want to give them practical tools of how to live this life for real. And so I titled my message, Glory Recognizes Glory. Have you guys ever been in a situation where you meet somebody and you just know, like, I like this person's like vibe, right? Like maybe you meet them for the first time and you walk away from that encounter with them and you're like, I really liked their personality. I really got along. I really feel like if we hang out more, we're going to be really good friends, right? And we had this moment happen. My wife and I, we went to Vancouver Washington in July. And we were there for a few days, and, you know, as some of you guys may know, we were in Portland for a couple years, so we did youth ministry there, and so we have some youth, former youth students that are now adults that still live there. And so I hit one of them up, said, hey, we're in town, and she was like, oh, like, you know, we should get coffee. I was like, great. So, she was like, and, you know, you guys can meet my new boyfriend. And she said it, I was like, you know, like, because this one is, it may come as a surprise for you guys or not, but young people make stupid decisions all the time, and you love them, and you love them, and you love them, and then you teach them about Jesus, and then they do not Jesus decisions, and you're like, ah, okay. And so this particular former youth student has in the last couple of years, especially since we moved back to Washington, has kind of put me and my wife through the ringer because we love her so much, and we want her, you know, we poured into her for 4 years, and she was literally like one of our kids, was over at our house all the time, and, you know, we went through a lot with her, and then when we left, it was like, oh, you didn't listen to anything we said. And so, you know, she's had an array of boyfriends and made some array of decisions. And so when she said that, I was like, I don't know what I'm walking into. I don't know who this guy's going to be or whatever. Well, we sit down, we get coffee with them, and we're kind of filling this guy out. And, you know, there's only a short amount of time, and we're not trying to drill him, but we're just trying to get to know him, right? Like, who's this girl that has the heart of one of our girls? Or who's this guy, rather, that has the heart of one of our girls? And we ended up having, like, a two-hour conversation with this young man and her about Jesus, and we got to counsel them a bit. They were open. They were asking questions. And we walked away, and I was like, thank you, God. Like, thank you, God, that you know, I don't know what's going to come from that, but I legitimately walked away and was like, they need to get married immediately. Please, like let this be the one. But Nancy said this phrase, you know, because I was like, I really liked him. I really, really hope this works out. I can't wait to hear about, you know, as it develops. And Nancy says this phrase, and she said, glory recognizes glory. And what she was emphasizing was that there's a glory inside of us, because we're children of God, not because Eric and Nancy are uber special or elite, but we believe that because of children of God, there's a glory inside of us, and we can recognize the glory that was in him. So that's what we were feeling. It wasn't just like, oh, he's nice and he's clean and he has a job and has a car. It was like, no, there's a glory of God inside of him that we know, whether he's with her or not, he's gonna do his thing, and it only is gonna help her continue to stir up that glory. And so glory recognizes glory. I want to read this story, and this is in Acts 5, starting in verse 12, and it says this: the apostles performed many signs and wonders among the people, and all the believers used to meet together in Solomon's colonnade. No one else dared join them, even though they were highly regarded by the people. Nevertheless, more and more men and women believed in the Lord and were added to their number. Why? Because there was a glory, and they recognize glory, right? Revival isn't just a big number of people getting together. Revival is you and I individually taking the glory inside of us and pouring it out wherever we go, okay? This is the true sign of revival. Verse 15, as a result, people brought the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and mats so that at the very least, Peter's shadow might fall on some of them as he passed by. Crowds gathered also from the towns around Jerusalem, bringing their sick and those tormented by impure spirits, and all of them were healed. All of them were healed. Why? Because there's a glory inside of the apostles, there's a glory inside of the disciples, right? Remember, Jesus is not there anymore. Jesus went to the cross, Jesus went to the grave, Jesus rose again, Jesus ascended, right? But what did he leave? He left Holy Spirit. They grabbed on it. Now they're engaging with it. Now they're saying, I'm going to engage with this glory. And as I go out, I'm so engaged with the glory, even my shadow's healing people. Even the shadow, because there's so much glory on me. As I walk around, there's so much glory just spilling out of me that God is moving. So, something happens, and the Sadducees get jealous, and they get them, and they throw them into jail. And then angel of the Lord comes and releases them and sends them out to continue to preach, right? And then so they get him again. They're like, hey, why do you guys keep doing this? We're going to throw you in jail again. And Peter makes this statement that gets them all stirred up. And he says, we must obey God rather than human beings. We must obey God rather than human beings, right? They are so unapologetic about the glory of God that's inside of them. They're saying, whether you like it or not, whether you put us in prison or not, whether you take us to the grave or not, we're going to, as long as there's breath in our lungs, the glory of God is going to be seen through our lives. Acts 5, picking up in 34, as they're talking about wanting to basically kill these guys, kill the apostles, this is for 34, but a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a teacher of the law, who was honored by all people, stood up in the Sanhedrin and ordered that the men be put outside for a little while. Then he addressed the Sanhedrin men, men of Israel, consider carefully what you intend to do to these men. Some time ago, Theudas appeared claiming to be somebody, and about 400 men rallied to him and was killed. He was killed. All his followers were dispersed, and it all came to nothing. After him, Judas the Galilean appeared in the days of the census and led a band of people in revolt. He too was killed, and all his followers were scattered. Therefore, in the present case, I advise you, leave these men alone. Let them go. For if their purpose or activity is of human origin, it will fall or fail. But if it is from God, you will not be able to stop these men. You only find yourselves fighting against God. What is he doing? He's painting a picture. And he's saying, I'm not saying that I agree or believe with what's happening with them. What I am saying, though, is that if it's fake, it'll take care of itself. If what they're doing is just man's origin, and what they're doing is just them and the glory, their own glory, it'll fall. But if this truly is God, if this truly is the glory of God, be careful, because you're fighting against God then. This isn't just these guys. You're fighting against God. Continue in verse 40. His speech persuaded them. They called the apostles in and had them flogged. Then they ordered them not to speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. And this is how gangster the apostles were. The apostles left the Sanhedrin rejoicing because they had been counted worthy of suffering disgrace for the name. Day after day in the temple courts and from house to house, they never stopped teaching and proclaiming the good news that Jesus is the Messiah. They already know. They've already counted the cost. They've already experienced jail time. They've already experienced being flogged. And even still, they said, we're going to continue to express the glory of God. My first point is this. Real faith has real evidence. Real faith has real evidence. As you guys are aware, there has been a fire in the Rimrock area for the last couple weeks. And when it first happened, and as it continues to happen, but especially when it first happened, because me and my wife were in Oregon when it first kind of started happening, and so we came back and we could just see the smoke everywhere. We couldn't see the fire, but we could see the smoke. And I had this thought, and I've been chewing on this thought for the last few weeks, is that the smoke is an indication of what? That there's a fire. Is there smoke coming off of your life? When you leave a place, is there evidence that there was a fire present in that place? Is there a fire? Is there evidence in your life, in your marriage, in your parenting, in your workplace, in your dreams, in your desires? Is there evidence that there's fire? Or is there no evidence and it's just simply, I'm just trying to get through the day? And there are seasons of that, and I get that. But I want to encourage us, as believers, we have to make sure that we're always staying on fire and we just don't have the appearance of fire. We just don't have the appearance of fire. It's like, fireplaces, I think they sell in Costco, right? They exude heat, right? And they give you a little picture of a fire so you can kind of get that, like, that warm, fuzzy feeling, right? But you guys ever have, like, a real fireplace in your house, right? Tim and Vicky in their house before they stopped using it, they remodeled, they had this black, like, what do you call that? Cast iron, like, it was this thing. I mean, and there was no gate around it, nothing. When that thing was lit, that thing was hot. You didn't have, I mean, I could be this far away from it. That thing was hot. That put off some heat, right? There is no replacement for, or no thing that can like, the Costco thing, that's great. That's pretty. Put that in your living room. That's awesome. And it's going to keep you warm for a little bit. This thing, that furnace thing, that put, like, wood burning, like, putting wood in there, like, that's going to produce some heat. Is your life producing heat? Is your life producing evidence? Is your life, is what you're doing in life, in your family, producing heat, producing evidence? The apostles didn't just show up to service, to a church service. They were the service. They didn't wait for a revival meeting. They brought revival, right? And I have nothing against us gathering as believers. I have nothing against, I think we should. I think, I have this movement that I'm trying to continue the last couple of years, the Gathering 509, where we're gathering young people. I believe in gathering. I believe Christians should gather. What I don't believe is that we have to wait till the next special worship event before we can see revival. Because if we limit revival to a large gathering of Christians, we completely missed it. And the large gathering of Christians is not what Jesus died for. Jesus died so the Christians that already exist experience revival inside of them and then are going to pour it out wherever they go. Yeah. That we would take this real faith and we would have real evidence wherever we go. Okay? I want to read this in James. James 2, it says this, 2:14, when is the benefit, my fellow believers, if someone claims to have faith but has no good works as evidence? Can that kind of faith save him? No, a mere claim of faith is not sufficient. Genuine faith produces good works. If a brother or sister is without adequate clothing and lacks enough food for each day, and one of you says to them, go in peace with my blessing, keep warm and feed yourself, but he does not give them the necessities for the body, what good does that do? So too, faith, if it does not have works to back it up, is by itself dead, inoperative, and ineffective. Here's some other words for inoperative: broken, out of order, out of commission, faulty, defective. I don't know about you guys, but I don't want my faith to ever be described as inoperative, as broken, as out of order. And here's the struggle is that we as believers, we as a church, we want to talk about the good things that the church can do and revival this and revival that. And I think that's fine. But if it's only words and we're not actually being revival, but instead so focused on having the revival, then again, we miss it. Put the next image up, Pastor. Some of you guys are familiar with this. The Olympics, 2024 Olympics, and the top picture, I didn't watch it, I just heard about it because Christians like to make a big deal about a lot of things, but the top is the opening ceremony, and what a lot of people are too is comparing it to this painting by Da Vinci, The Last Supper. And let me just say this, I get it. It is appalling the way the world will make fun of and mock Christianity, especially the fact that Christianity is one of the only ones, from what I can see, that kind of gets the brunt end of these things, right? God forbid, you know, they do something that mocks, you know, Buddhism or any other faith, right? God forbid. But here's the resolve I come to. We have to stop being surprised when the world acts like the world? Why are we surprised that by the Olympics, that is not a Christian event, it's literally a world event? Why are we surprised by the world acting like the world? They don't know better. You guys ever hear parents say that? You should know better to their kids, right? Well, if they knew better, they'd do better, right? Instead of, let's focus on being a great impact, assisting the church to act like the church. Instead, let's stop focusing on, oh my gosh, do you hear what they're doing in the schools now? I get it. I'm not saying we don't pray about it. I'm not saying we don't, feel a certain way about it. But instead of focusing on, oh my gosh, this is such a big deal. Like, that's what the world does. Instead of focusing on, oh my gosh, did you see that Disney movie and they had the girls kiss? Disney isn't a Christian company. Oh my gosh, did you see the movies they released on Netflix? Netflix isn't a Christian company. Why are we surprised when the world's acting like the world? Instead, why not focus on how do I be the best representation of Jesus wherever I go? And if I don't want to subscribe if I want to cancel the subscription or I don't want to watch, great, don't watch. But let's stop acting like the world should know better, because the world doesn't know better. You know who's responsible for showing the world the right way? It's us. It's our responsibility to walk in and actually show them this is how I'm going to live as close to Jesus, right? And I love you because that's what we're called to do. We're called to love the world, right? He loves the world. Does he love everything they do? Probably not. Okay? 1 Corinthians 11:1 says this, imitate me just as I also imitate Christ. What about our life imitates Jesus? What about our life imitates our Father? You know, when my Skyler and Kaden were younger, I used to do this thing, and I think I've told this story here before. And it's a really silly example, but I'll just say it because this is the dad in me. And I used to, I would walk in the living room, and I would say, Skyler and Kaden, and they would what did I do? What didn't I do? Right? And then I would just fart, and it always got a laugh. And I still think it's funny. Yeah. So let me ask you, what do you think my, you know, whatever, 4 and 6 year old started to do to me? Yeah. They'd walk into a room, dad, what? And fart. It was really funny and it got a laugh every time. What were they doing? They were imitating their father. They were imitating this silly gesture. Now, a more spiritual example of this, when Skyly was first in school, she was in kindergarten, and she comes home one day and she's telling me about this girl who wasn't being so nice to her, and she was telling me, Dad, I have this friend and he's a boy, and then this girl named Sunny is like being mean to me, and she's calling me weird names because I'm friends with the boy, because, you know, 5 year olds are 5 year olds, and they're like, well, you can't be friends with boys. And I'm like, okay, like, I this is my first experience with putting my kids in school and having them around other kids that is not, you know, a Christian environment. So I'm like, do I have to fight a 5 year old? Like, what do we do here, right? Like, I don't know the rules here. And she's like, well, Dad, no, like, you know, whether she wants to call me, and this is like, maybe I'm filling in some words here, but, you know, Skyly at five was very wise, and she said, I was like, what do you want me to do? Do you want me to talk to her? What do you need me to do? She's like, Dad, like, whether or not Sunny calls me names or thinks anything of me or whatever, I know who I am. Like, I don't need Sunny's approval. I don't need her, right? And humbled me, you know, in my thinking, and because I'm thinking, like, that's not right. Justice, you know, we need justice for Skyly. And then, fast forward, the same little girl, Sunny, who was being mean to Skyly not too long ago, has a moment where she herself is getting bullied. Something happens, somebody says something. And who's the one that comes up next to her to comfort her and to pour into her? Skyly. Right? Again, imitating the Father, imitating what me and Nance had brought them up into. So again, I ask the question, what about your life imitates the Father? What about your life imitates Jesus? My second point is this, a stirred faith stirs other faith. Right? You guys ever be or get around somebody that gets really excited about something, right? They get really, really excited. Pastor Mike's son, Timmy, he is easily influenced. And I remember I've known him as a young man, and you know, him and I would hang out, and he'd come over to our house to stay the night and play video games and stuff. And something I learned early on is that if I'm excited about it, Timmy's going to be excited about it, right? If I like it, he likes it. If I'm wearing it, he's going to wear it. Like if I'm stirred up about anything to any degree, right? And to some degree, he's still like that. And that's great. And that's fine. But you know, getting around people who are stirred up about their faith, right? Has this thing that does like, yeah, you're right. Jesus is good, right? God can heal. Oh my gosh, like I forgot about these, you know, and this is why it's important to have a good Christian community around you, is because you stir each other up, right? And I have these friends where I'll have moments where like I'm feeling whatever and mixed up about my feelings and I'm forgetting my place in God's kingdom. And they're quick to remind me of who I am. And then vice versa, they'll have moments where I like, my friends are dealing with stuff and I'm able to come in and remind them of the goodness of God. Why? Because a stirred faith stirs others' faith. When you're stirred in your faith so much that you are unapologetic about your passion for the Lord, you become an igniter for others who have no faith or are teetering in their faith. What you do with your faith is important. I want to finish James 2, verse 18 says, but someone will say, you have faith, I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by my deeds. You believe that there is one God. Good. Even the demons believe that and shudder. You foolish person, do you want evidence that faith without deeds is useless? Was not our father Abraham considered righteous for what he did when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see that his faith and his actions were working together, and his faith was made complete by what he did. And the scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness, and he was called God's friend. You see that a person is considered righteous by what they do and not by faith alone. In the same way, was not even Rahab the prostitute considered righteous for what she did when she gave lodging to the spies and sent them off in a different direction? As the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead. The glory of God is not reserved for the elite. Okay, the glory of God is not reserved for the special person that you know reads their Bible the most, or that prays the most, or that goes to the most church, or any of these things. That's actually how the world works. Glory in the world is reserved for the elites. Glory for, if you're going to get glory in the world sense, it's because you are to some degree elite, right? You have the most followers, you have the most influence. You then get all the glory. Glory in the kingdom is reserved for his sons and his daughters. Glory in the kingdom is reserved for those willing to say yes. Glory in the kingdom is reserved when we step in and we say, God, I'm going to submit my life before you. And I may not know everything there is to know about your word. I may not know all the fancy words when I pray. I might not even like to pray out loud. But nonetheless, I'm stepping in and I'm submitting my life for you. That is who the glory of God is reserved for. Like I mentioned, we're going to camp tomorrow. And something I've been encouraging our kids is, yes, we're going to go and we're going to receive, because that's what happens at camp. You go and you receive. When you go to conference, when you go to special events, you're there to receive. I don't want, though, our kids just to go with the mindset to receive, because we've been equipping them and showing them that you have the same Holy Spirit that whoever's speaking at camp has, the same Holy Spirit of whoever's leading worship, the same Holy Spirit of any of the pastors or leaders that are going, and you have something as a 15, 16, 17-year-old, where you're going to bring something special from One Life Family Worship in Selah, Washington, that we're going to take down, and you're going to give out. And this is the thing that we're encouraging our kids, because we believe they have the glory of God to not just have an encounter, but to be an encounter. Amen? So I want to pray for you guys, and here's some questions that I want to ask as we end service today, is this: where in our life does our faith need to show up? Where in our life am I doubting? Where in my life am I not experiencing the most faith or the most glory of God? Where am I lacking in this area, right? Where is God highlighting and say, hey, you need to believe for me a little bit more in this area? Right? Maybe it's an area of finances. Maybe it's an area of family. Maybe it's an area of relationship. Maybe it's an area of whatever the thing is, right? But where in my life does my faith need to show up? And then the second question is, where in my life does the glory of God inside of me need to be represented more? Where in my life do I don't know if you guys ever heard this phrase, code switching. We all do it. We all code switch. And if you don't know what it means, it's essentially when you get around these people, you act this way. And you get around these people, you act that way, right? And it's not necessarily bad. But if we're not careful, what we'll do is, as Christians, is we'll code switch. And I like to think of it almost like there's a dial. When I come into church, that dial's turned all the way on, right? All the glory is on. It's at 10. I'm, you know, the Christian. Hello, brother. Hello, sister. Good to see you. Hugs. You know, the whole thing. And I'm worshiping, right? And then when I walk out that door, I start to turn it down, right? And I get around my family. I turn it down. I get to work. Yes, you know I'm a Christian, but that thing's at 1, right? Like, I'm not showing up being that weird Christian here. Right? When I get around certain family members, like, I'm turning that thing way down, right? Because I don't have, you know, what Pastor Mike has or Pastor Eric has to be able to come into this unchristian environment and bring the glory of God, right? Or I get around, and I can continue giving examples, but nonetheless, is that you're getting into these different areas and you're having control of code switching where the glory that God has put inside of you is going to show up. I don't think we need to walk around and just be like the loudest person in the room for God. That's what you feel you need to do. That's awesome. Also, I believe that if we can allow God to be expressed in our lives wherever we go, there's a potential for real revival to break out. There's potential for a real move of God to happen. And it may not be this explosive, oh my gosh, I went into my you know, family's home and they've never showed interest in Jesus and all of them were on their face crying before the Lord. But maybe, it looks like you giving somebody just a little bit more courage into it. A little bit, you know, that door gets just creaked up, open just a little bit more. Right, I heard this example about, you know, if you look at like the timeline of somebody's faith journey, right, and right in the middle, like this is where they find Jesus, right, and then the rest of their life is walking with Jesus, right, but they're over here, like it's really easy to want to be like, I want to be the person that gets them over that line, right? Gets them over that line where they say yes to Jesus. And now, like, I want to be that person, right? Like, as a pastor, like, I want to be that person. Like, I want to be the person that is part of the reason why you said yes to Jesus. But the resolve I've had to come to is that sometimes me showing up and expressing the glory of God in people's lives is not even close to that, but I'm way over here And it's me just helping them just crack that door open just a little bit more, where it just is a step closer. And maybe that's my season. Maybe that's where God has me, in that person's life, in that family member's life, in that student's life, in that church member's life, whatever. But it's not necessarily about just getting them over there. I would love to get them over there, but it's, God, why did you bring me into this place? And so, again, where in our life does our faith need to show up, and where in our life does the glory of God inside of us need to be represented more? Where is God saying, I want my glory to shine wherever you go? Let me pray, and we're going to worship. Jesus, we just thank you. We thank you, God, that you're so willing. You're so willing on a daily, Lord, on a very frequent basis to pour out your glory on us, God. God, I pray for any person in this room that's feeling empty right now, you would just fill them up with your goodness, God. You would fill them up, Lord, with your glory, God, right now. In Jesus' name, if that's you, I ask that you would just receive it right now. If you're feeling empty, God, we just thank you, Lord, that you're filling your children up right now. God, I pray, Lord, that this house would be a house of fire starters, that this house would be a house of stirred up individuals about Jesus, that when we get around others, that our excitement, Lord, our zeal, our faith, God, rubs off on other people. Lord, that as we get close to those, Lord, who are teetering in their faith, that you use us, Lord. You use us, Lord, to inspire, Lord, your children to say yes to you. God, we love you so much. God, we love you so much. And God, we thank you for the love, God, the love that you continually pour out on us. Let us be reminded day in and day out of the love that you have for us, God, that you're you don't call us just to be sideline Christians. You don't call us just to be Christians that just go through the motions and check boxes off. But you call us to do so much more and be so much more in our faith. Let that be the heart of this house, God, that we would not just be a house, Lord, that clocks in on a Sunday morning, God, and then clocks out when we leave this place, God, but we would be Christians, Lord, where it is always on. The glory of God is always on. On our lives, Lord, our light is always shining, God. Our faith is always going after you, God. Even in the impossible, even with the mountains in front of us, the giants in front of us, the bondages in front of us, God, that you, Lord, would give us a faith, Lord, that breaks through all of those things. Lord, I pray that, Lord, for every person here, Lord, whether they've been serving you for a long time or serving you for a little bit of time, God, that that there would be a faith, God, infused inside of us today, Jesus. Believing for things that are impossible. Believing for things that people say, that can't happen. That shouldn't happen. I've never seen that happen. God, I thank you that you work in the realm of, I've never seen that happen before. So Jesus, we praise your name, and I just pray, God, that as we go out today, that we would continue to just be highlighted by you, Jesus. Yeah, and I thank you for that in Jesus' name. Let's worship, church.
Been told I'm not good enough.
reach out and you find me in the dark. You say no amount of untruths can separate us. I reach out and
be our hearts, Lord, to rejoice, God, in you. Rejoice in who you are, God. God, I pray for a continual reminder, God, Lord, a spiritual reminder, if you will, for us, Lord, as we go throughout our week, Lord, that we would not forget, God, of your goodness, Lord, but in every circumstance, we would recognize of your goodness. We would recognize who you are. Even when situations are not so good, situations are not so fun, we want to give up, we want to call it in, we want to whatever, that you would remind us of your goodness, you would remind us of your glory, you would remind us of what you brought us from and where you're bringing us to. Thank you, Jesus, for all these things. In Jesus' name, everyone said, amen, amen. Have a great Sunday, you guys. And just want to last plug about baptisms next week. If you want to feel led to get baptized, make sure you talk to Pastor Mike. Amen. See you guys next week.